up to much next to a woman. A man can't ever forget the taste of a woman.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to PMP Network.
All right.
Love Special One.
Really?
Yeah, it's a nice CD.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. What was it like, getting back in there after 6 years and getting back in the studio again?
Well, we actually go in the studio quite often, but making a complete an album, it was fun to do. I mean, we've gone and recorded, and finally to just go in and... it's easy to make singles or sing, one song or whatever, but to try to put together something that kind of fits with in the Cheap Trick vein, and this is kind of a bit of a departure, but, when you have our whole repertoire of what we have, this one fits with that, and this one fits with that, and so it's a bit diverse, and it was fun to do.
This was really a team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they all are, though.
Yeah, for the most part, you guys just kind of brought everything in the studio and kind of worked together on it.
Yeah, we did. It's like my wife says I have a problem with the F word, and it's Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the other F word. And I've been, it's the same for years. I do stuff, and then while I'm writing a song, I'll go on to the next song, and I don't finish them. And sometimes I do, but I kind of leave them, and then usually Robin comes along and says, "Hey, let's work on that one," because I'm already onto something else.
Mm.
And so we went through, and all of us had stuff, so it was fun to kind of work on them, it's got to be Cheap Trick and try to make the songs better.
It's amazing how long the band has been around and keeps cranking out the stuff that makes everybody take notice. I mean, I remember the first time I heard "I Want You to Want Me" and then going through to the Flame and even that 70s show when you guys did the theme song to a show that no one knew was going to be a huge success. That must have been kind of so surprised that the show did so well.
Well, I think it's still doing fine.
Yeah.
We'd read stuff. It's always funny. We read stuff like anybody else. There were two songs up for the theme song. One was "In the Streets" or whatever that's called, and the other one was "Surrender." And they chose the other one. We said, "Ah, darn! We didn't get that." And then after the first season, I said, "Well, we'd like to have you guys play it." And then we added a bit of the we're all alright, it's kind of, we add a little bit of our flavor plus a different arrangement to the thing, and it's cool, it's, so they, it was kind of the best of both worlds. I mean, they picked a song to use, but then, rather than just sticking with it, they got a little Cheap Trick and they got the other song, so.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Plus we did a video with them, too. I don't know if you knew that.
No, tell me about it.
No, it didn't. I don't think it got much airplay.
Well, now that was for that particular song was on MTV and things.
We did it with them. You know, did it with the whole, you know, the whole ensemble of the show.
Yeah, we've had the whole group on the show, and they're all nice kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were great, and in the video it's kind of funny because you know we're playing and we, and then all the guys, you know, everybody in the group or on the TV show. I mean, they're running around playing our guitars and jumping around and then the next day I think it was we did a kind of an in store with the stars of that 70s show, and we played outside out in Los Angeles, as you know, in a parking lot, and then they signed autographs and we did too. We were all together. I mean, it was before the show was a big hit too, so I was like, no, I'm sure it would be more chaotic than it already was.
No, it'd be insane if they did it again now.
Yeah.
With both of you folks. What is it that keeps Cheap Trick going? I mean, all these other bands, they have all these problems, and they break up all the time, and they're done, and you guys just keep going. What is it that keeps you guys on the road and keeps you guys together?
We still like playing, you know. It's still fun playing, and, it's a good group, you know. I think it's the songs, you know. The songs are, even the old stuff is... You know, it's not like, you know, we got old songs and, oh, God, this one's just horrid. You know, the old stuff is good and the new stuff is good. So, and we all wanted to play in bands since, I mean, playing a band is my hobby, you know. And, you know, luckily I've made my career my hobby, you know. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I remember when Live at Budokan came out, too, that was a really trailblazing album in terms of Japan and what you guys did. Were you folks surprised by the incredible success of that album?
Of course, you know, we're surprised that we're still playing. We're surprised that I'm doing an interview with you. You know, it's like, it's like I'm flattered that we have made 20 some all original material CDs or albums, or records. I don't even know what to call stuff anymore. I mean, our latest special one came. It's come out on vinyl, and actually five different colors of vinyl, and also on CDs and I assume cassettes. I haven't seen any, but.
Now, tell me a little bit about the collaboration here. You guys started your own label a while back, right?
Yeah, yes, we did. Still have it.
What was the intention of that? Was that just really for professional freedom?
Well, we kind of always did have that anyhow, but it was like the last two big labels that we signed with, we got stung. You know, you sign these deals, and like the one that we did with Warner Brothers, I mean, right before our record came out, they fired Lenny Warnker and Mo Austin. I mean, you can't... You know, get rid of the guy in the mailroom, but, you know, those guys are the stuff.
Right.
And so they got fired right when the record came out, and everybody was afraid to work with us. And, gee, that big label, it's like, and, you know, if they don't know what's going on. So then we waited a while, and we scouted around for a deal, and we went with this kind of a newer company, and they said they had unlimited funds, and they had unlimited... energy to go and work our records, this, that, and the other. The record came out, and they went bankrupt. So let's see. You've been shot twice. Do you want to keep going in the same place? I don't think so. So it's like, well, we're not going to stop making records. And then we got we got somebody to distribute them, but we put them out on our label and cut out the middleman. And we put out, two CDs, and we also put out two DVDs on our label, Music for Hangovers and Silver. They were both in both formats.
And they did well?
They did fine.
So you don't need those big guys, you know? You can do without the limos.
And then we made our new record, and we didn't have anybody, we financed it ourselves, and we went and did it, and then we shopped, and we big three. They won out, and we still had a deal in Japan. We're on JVC over there, And it's just, you know, having, I always tell people, you know, having a record deal is not that big a deal. I mean, you know, we can, but having a record deal that's a good deal and people that work hard for you, that's a big deal.
Right. I mean, that's the key, the promotion of the whole thing, that how they work for you. If they don't work for you and they let it sit in the shelves, it doesn't do you much good.
No, I mean, you know, I always tell people, if we waited for a hit to tour, we'd probably never tour. So, you know, if our record does great, we're on tour. If our record does lousy, we're on tour. So it's like, you know, we're cheap trick. We can back it up. I mean, go out and play new stuff that's people haven't heard on the radio and stuff, and it goes over. I mean, that's the key. You know, sure, we have hits that we've played before, but I mean, one of the things, like, we just got done playing in Tokyo and Osaka last week, and we played with Radiohead, Blur, and Blink 142, or Blink 182, mm-hmm. Sum 41, you know, all these different bands, and the Star Spangles and the Dotsons and bands like that. And we were playing in front of an audience that really, you know, the generation, I mean, they'd heard of us, of course, but they didn't know us. And it's like, and every one of those bands, they're all on the sides watching us, seeing what we're up to. And, you know, and it's funny, I mean, because they're all fans. But the kids in the audience, we got to make them fans if you don't hear it on the radio, you don't really think about them.
Mm. Some of the younger kids, I mean, maybe the only thing they've heard Cheap Trick in is that 70s Show theme song.
Yeah. But and they don't even know it's us.
Well, that's true.
You know, if they don't watch the credits, you know, they're looking at the girls bouncing up and down. You know? I mean, so am I, so there you go, you know.
Yeah, I've had them on the show, and they're great.
Yeah, they are. They're all good people. And, you know, so the main kid guy, I mean, he was a nasty guy in that one movie, too.
Which guy is that?
I don't know.
You're talking about Ashton Kutcher, are you?
No, not Ashton. no, he's done pretty well for
himself.
Yeah,
he's done really well.
I know. I mean, he was just a really nice guy when we were with him out there.
I had no inclination at all when I interviewed him.
In Iowa or something like that.
Some people, when you talk to them, I've predicted great success for them. When I had Ashton on, he was so down to earth and so, you know, not trying to be a star that it was interesting that
I think that probably helped him not trying to be a star.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I mean, I've met people that are trying to be stars, and it's like they think they're hot, this and that. But I mean, he didn't strike me as like some great actor either. I mean, the kid that he's got the looks and he's got obviously got talent and people believe in him if he picks some good movies and does them right, you know, he could have a long career. You know, he could be doing TV, movies, and whatever.
And he's got Demi.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if that's an asset or not. It's
it's a fun play toy.
Yeah.
You know, talking about, well, this is really not a good juxtaposition because it isn't about play toys, but the new CD, special one, starts off with a great song, Scent of a Woman, which actually kind of reminds me a little of The Who. But
about every review I've seen has said that. My wife asked me about this.
I mean, there's a bunch of songs on here that sound like The Who. It's amazing, actually. But
well,
you can still tell that this
pretty good
Cheap
band.
Trick. Yeah. If you're going to emulate someone, not a bad thing to sound like. But it's an unusual song in that it's kind of a love song, but it's really like a feminist kind of love song. It's unusual for a band to be singing something like that.
Well, yeah, that's how I wrote it. You know, it's like, you know, I didn't want to write Mush Gush. And I didn't want to write, let me hit you over the head and drag you by your hair, you know. So it's kind of in between, you know. Every tough guy with a million tattoos and piercings all over his body, if he's got someone that he loves, you know, he's just as much a pussycat as everybody else is. And so, you know, it's like, but I didn't want to have, you know, like a mush gush or a wishy-washy thing. But it was a kind of a, you know, the women are, you know, they're strong, and I'm going to sing about it, and I'm not going to pussyfoot around.
Well, I actually like what someone from the Chicago Sun-Times said. It's sexual politics turned into a blue-eyed soul rampage, underscored with bombastic who-like power chords.
Well, yeah. It's
that's a great description.
Well, we I think Tom said in one of the interviews, he said it was it's like if AC/DC did a
love ballad or something.
A love ballad, or, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean this is a really good album. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need to listen to it more than once. You know, I think all our records are like that. It's like, I mean, I go back and listen to stuff that I didn't listen to. It's like, you know, the stuff that never got played and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, that's you know, I tell people if I weren't in the band, I'd be a fan of the band. You know.
Well, I'm a fan of the band, and I think that the fandom will continue with this album, Special One. I like it a lot.
Well, great.
And I was kind of surprised, actually. I wasn't expecting it to be that good.
Well, the next one will be better. And this one's good already.
Now, I guess you guys are obviously promoting this around the country. Where are you heading?
Around the world.
Yeah, where are you heading? Where are some of the places you're going?
Let's see. We're doing Craig Kilborn next Wednesday.
Now, did you already do Conan O'Brien?
Yeah, we did Conan about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We did Conan. I can look here.
And I do know that you're coming to Boston to the Orpheum Theater on September 7th. You'll be in Columbus on the 9th, Chicago, Riviera on the 10th. Earlier in September, you'll be in Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Philly, New York, all over the place, San Francisco, L.A., and even getting to Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're, I'm trying to think.
Illinois and Arkansas. The Alaska State Fair, August 23rd.
Alaska, we're in Reno, Nevada.
How was Alaska?
Well, no, we didn't do it.
You didn't do it?
No, that was going to be on the 23rd.
Yeah, you didn't do it?
No, we did not do it.
Let me cross it off then.
Okay.
Not done. Okay. You wanted to stay somewhere warm and stuff?
Well, no. We couldn't get our equipment up there fast enough because we were doing Craig Kilborn, then we're doing sessions at AOL the next day in Los Angeles, and we couldn't get to Anchorage or wherever it was fast enough, and then on the 25th we're in Seattle at the EMP Sky Church thing.
Hmm.
And then the next day I'm doing a thing with a Hard Rock memorabilia, and then we're in Chicago, and then we're in Oshkosh and Marshfield, then we're in Rockford, Illinois, then we're in Atlanta. You know the deal.
Right. Now, weren't you recently in Japan again?
Yeah, last week.
Tell me about that. You guys, didn't you sing at an exhibition game?
Yeah, we played at a baseball stadium called the Summer Sonic in Tokyo, and then as soon as we got done with that, we rushed over to the Tokyo Dome and played halftime at the Japan Bowl with the New York Jets and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow. So they give you good seats?
Great seats. And, you know, plus we were on the field. And
yeah.
It was actually kind of a neat deal. I had a guitar made, Japan Tour 2003, Ricky Nielsen Cheap Trick, and had a bunch of the football players sign it, and there's going to be an auction later this year for the NFL Foundation and stuff. And
wow.
It was pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, it must be fun to meet some of these guys. And,
yeah, and then we also did a thing at the Hard Rock with the NFL, Budokan, 25 years, and the Hard Rock and the NFL, and actually they made a real rare pin. It was the Hard Rock and then Cheap Trick logo on the neck and the NFL on it too, and that's the first time they've done that. I think it's a real rare pin.
Now, how's the Special One been doing? I know it's been out.
I think it's doing all right. Yeah. You know, it's not like we're not like you know, if it doesn't do well the first week, we give up. I mean, our first record came out, and it sold next to nothing. You know, and since then it's a gold plus or you know platinum or whatever.
Right.
And you know, if we would have said, well, you know, whatever happened the first month or first week, well, you know, we work these records forever, and we're just in Japan, and the records that are out there. They just re-released all our old stuff with in new CD packaging and stuff, and with the original artwork. I mean, it's great looking stuff. It's so, you know, we have a great catalog, and having new material with it, it's like, you know, we're not disappointed if it doesn't, you know, go straight up the charts, because our chart is 25 years.
Right. And talking about 25 years, what about maybe a 25-year anniversary box set or something?
Well, we did the thing called Silver, which was our 25th.
Oh, I missed it. I didn't get one.
Wow. Bug whoever coordinated this.
Yeah, who was the record company for that one?
That was Cheap Truck Unlimited.
Really? Yeah, and they never got one.
Carl or Dave Fry.
Oh, because that would have been a nice thing to have.
It is a nice thing. The thing Silver, it's a double CD or double DVD.
Wow.
And it's 29 songs, and it's got something from every record we've done. It's got Billy Corgan's on it, and art from Everclear, and Slash, and we've got an orchestra, we got a chorus, you know, it's wild. Two of my kids playing it, two of Robin's kids are on it.
Hmm. And one of your sons is a kid named Miles, right?
Yeah, I have a son named Miles and a son named Dax, they're both on
it. They're both musicians?
Both of them are, yeah.
That must make Dad proud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do they write songs, too, and play guitar?
Of course, yeah. Go to HarmonyRiley.com.
Harmony Riley?
HarmonyRiley.com is their website. And actually, Robin's got a couple of his kids are in bands, too. They're one of them is in a band called the Snags, S-N-A-G-G-S.
Really?
Yeah, actually, the Snags and Harmony Riley are opening for Cheap Trick in Rockford on August 31st.
You see, they must have some in with the band.
Yeah, maybe.
I bet you they're good, though.
They are very good. They're all really good. They're talented, and plus they're good kids, I mean.
Yeah. Did your sons grow up enjoying Cheap Trick, or did they
they never said a word to me, but then about it, you know, because I'm their father. I mean, I'm not the guy in Cheap Trick. Well, and then about a year and a half ago, Bunny had a back operation, and we talked about asking, you know, Tommy Lee or asking Chad from Chili Peppers or a bunch of different drummers we thought about asking. We ended up using Dax, my son, and he went on tour with us while Bunny's back was on the mend, and he knew all our stuff.
I never knew
he knew our stuff.
There you go, yeah. It's interesting because we've had a few kids actually whose parents were big icons in rock and roll, and they used to say to their parents, "Oh, your music stinks and stuff." And meanwhile, in their rooms, they'd be practicing some of the notes.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's just typical.
I
right?
never knew it. I honestly did not know.
Hmm. Well, Special One is available right now, and does Cheap Trick have a website as well?
CheapTrick.com.
CheapTrick.com, and
really
it's from Cheap Trick Unlimited and Big Three Records.
You got it.
And it's available all over the place.
All over the world.
And DVDs are available as well.
DVDs so you can get on Cheap Trick. Also. And actually, if some of the Special One CDs actually have a 5-song DVD extra added in it.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to have to get all the info about finding that, because I've seen it couple places, and actually in the Japanese Special One also has the song Special One in Japanese and in English.
Yeah, I understand Robin actually knows Japanese.
Robin actually sang it in Japanese.
He actually knows Japanese?
Really?
Or did he just learn that song?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was very difficult for him to do, and I think eventually people are going to hear that too, because it's cool. You know, we really really made an effort to thank our Japanese fans.
I'm sure they do appreciate it, too.
They better. We'll go back there and play again.
Rick, it was a pleasure to have you on the show.
My pleasure.
Good luck. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.